Where were you for the save? It's the talk of the town. It sounds a little hyperbolic, but we're going to give into that hyperbole today here on Vegas Golden Podcast, brought to you by the Credit One Bank Vegas Born Card, the credit card perfect for passionate Vegas Golden Knights fans. I'm Case Kiefer with Justin Emerson, and just diving right into our big topic. Looks like it's all kind of coming together for the Golden Knights, Justin. Only been two games, but they blow out Calgary and then have a firecracker of a game last night. We're recording on a Wednesday with the Maple Leafs. They come out on top.
I'll tell you what, that game against the Maple Leafs might have been the best game of the year so far. Like, just most exciting, most fun, most well-played, 60-minute, both sides, game of the year. Like, that, I'm, like, looking at the schedule, trying to think of another one. The last game against Toronto was really good. If you don't necessarily care who wins, there were a couple of overtime losses that were pretty good games. But as far as a Golden Knights victory, that one may have been the most fun game so far this year.
You know, I've been high on Toronto all year, despite the fact now that they have a pretty ugly looking record.
But maybe record and just fired their coach like a couple hours ago.
Oh, I didn't even see that. I've been in NFL land for the last few hours and some other editing land, so I did not even know. I know that was people were chirping about it on Twitter last night, firing Babcock, but it actually happened.
Yeah, it actually happened. My favorite thing is that Marc-Andre Fleury, two of the biggest saves in his career, I pointed this out on Twitter, were last night and in the 2009 Stanley Cup final at the very end of the game. The opposing head coach for both of those, Mike Babcock.
Oh, that is a very good point. So
Marc-Andre Fleury has stolen Mike Babcock's soul.
Tortures Mike Babcock.
Cost him a cup, cost him his job.
Wow, that's rough. So this will be maybe an even hotter take, or not a hot take, because we saw what happened last year. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I still am going to say, despite how bad they look, I would not be at all shocked if last night was a Stanley Cup final preview.
One year ago to the day. The Blues fired their coach and hired Craig Berube and then went on a run. 1 year ago today, it happened. Are you saying it's going to happen again? It sounds like you might be.
I think it could be. I will say one other group of people that we mention a lot on this podcast that are not overreacting to the Maple Leaf start. Actually, after they lost last night and there was so much negativity around them, I looked at their record. I was like, okay, now is the time. I want to get some Maple Leafs to win the Stanley Cup, to win the Eastern Conference in my futures portfolio. I looked all around town, everywhere that has good futures offerings. The Maple Leafs are nowhere higher than 12-1 to win the cup. That's just insane to me. I was hoping to get like 25 or higher.
They're fourth from the bottom in the Eastern Conference in points percentage right now. Like, they've got 22 points. So in theory, if you want to look at it one way, they're two points out of a playoff spot, but they've got 2 points in hand. They're in trouble.
Yeah. So I was pretty surprised. I did not end up taking any Maple Leafs, but in that process, I honestly was looking for Toronto. I did another important discovery that I have an official announcement to make for our betting portion of the podcast. I now am an owner of some Vegas Golden Knights futures. They are currently 14-1 to win the Stanley Cup, 7-1 to win the West. I bid on both this morning. Wow. So welcome to the club, Vegas Golden Knights.
We only talked about the Pacific last week. Were they still 11-10 to win the Pacific?
The Pacific, they only post those for like a few hours at the beginning of the week, so I did not find any divisions up today. But look, if you've listened to the podcast, you know Justin is super high on them too. But me too, I've said all year, I think that this is the best roster in the Western Conference. I still think when all said and done, this is the best team in the Western Conference. I think there's a handful of East teams I would take over Vegas still, but they're not gonna have to beat all of them to get to the final.
They have to win the cup.
Yeah, to win the cup. But that's why I took West too. Oh, I mean, 7-1 and then 14-1 to win the cup. You can play off of that. But I already have some East teams to win the cup at long prices too. So hopefully they could be playing Carolina, Pittsburgh. I took it 25-1. I think a week ago. And who was Tampa Bay, who I still think is gonna heat up. So just wanted to say, I've added the Golden Knights. I have been positive week after week after week, even when I shouldn't be. And I really do think now is the time when it's all going to start to come together, even if it sounds right now like that this is just me going way too far after two games.
Well, it has been coming together those last two games. And I've been banging the drum for a month, maybe not a month, because I went from they're winning but not playing well to they're losing but actually playing well. So really, I'm just, whatever they're doing at the time, I'm going to advocate that the opposite is more true, apparently. They played well the last week. Like, they haven't won, but like the Detroit game, they should have won. Chicago game, they were ahead. Kings game, played well enough to win. Calgary finally got together and blew them out. And then Toronto played really well. So no, they're on they're playing some good hockey right now. Sharks and Edmonton the rest of this week to finish out the road trip. A quick two-gamer to Dallas and Nashville next week. So by the time we do our pod next week, they could be even in better shape. Right now, third place in the Pacific. So I don't hate your odds that you got.
All right. Well, thank you. It feels great to have your acceptance. I will say,
I don't know if that was sarcastic or not.
No, it does. You know this team very well. I know we bounce around the Pacific, it seems like, every week, but I will say it's a very odd spot I find myself in, because honestly, the team for sure I'm worried the most about in the Pacific is Arizona, and I just would not have expected that.
Yeah, I don't.
A
think
few weeks ago, I think I think they're the biggest competition right now, and the team that looks like they would have to for sure get through in the playoffs. You would think.
Yeah. Edmonton's good. They're leading the division right now by a couple of points, but they've got two superstar players and 21 other guys, I guess. Their goaltending has been like ninth best in the league, which is not, I don't think, sustainable with Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen. But I'm with you on the Arizona thing. I've been wanting an Arizona Vegas series, just because it's the imaginary desert rivalry that I've been pushing for that will never happen. But playoff series between those two would be very fun.
Yeah. It's interesting, too. These rivalries have been so fluid. I mean, year one, it was mostly the Kings. Then last year, it's like, oh, my God, this Sharks rivalry is the whole thing. This is going to be the biggest forever. And I am not so sure it's not going to mutate yet again here in year three. Not saying for sure it's Arizona, but you could, I could see, depending on what happens in the playoffs, there being a new rivalry boiling. And we all tried to guess going into the first year who it was going to be, and it's just kind of cool the way it's worked out.
Yeah, that Kings thing didn't really work out, did
it? Yeah, I mean, for the first year, it was interesting going into the playoffs with the who was the had the famous quote? Drew Doughty had guarantee they'll be better than them. So it was fun while it lasted, but it is certainly gone. And God, it just shows how good we are. How have we gotten into 6 or 7 minutes of this podcast, and other than me mentioning it out top, we have not yet discussed the play. I think every other conversation started with today around town, the Marc-Andre Fleury save to kind of preserve that victory last night against the Maple Leafs. Give us the rundown.
Well, you know what? I came into the office today and I got laughed at for, hey, Justin, you see the you see what Fleury did last night? You see that? Hey, Justin, do you see that? It was the coolest hockey play I've ever seen. If you're not gonna get fired up about that, then you shouldn't be a hockey writer. Like, that was so much fun to watch in person. It was a shot that very cool people in my mentions on Twitter are like, well, the shot was gonna go wide, or why was he out of position, or blah 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 blah, whatever, I don't care. It was awesome. Maple Leafs come down the left wing, hit the post, bounces off to the other side. Fleury dives all the way across. I'm watching the GIF on my computer right now, like a freaking outfielder, wide receiver, whatever. He had no business catching that puck, and he did, and that was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was totally crazy, and I know I tweeted this, but just to reiterate, because you missed it, I literally saw someone drop their glass at the bar, and it shattered on the ground when he made that save. That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Just those two things at the same time. It was it really was that outstanding. I guess this could be the weekly time where I say I'm not a hockey guy, and I'm glad I'm not a hockey guy if people are trying to downgrade this. What are you thinking? That was like so, I don't care.
It was people that were like, well, what about this save that the goalie on my favorite team made a couple of years
ago? Okay,
gotcha. It's like, cool, dude. Like, that's awesome. This one was too.
Yeah.
The ones, my favorite one was somebody was like, man, I hate Marc-Andre Fleury, and I hate the Golden Knights. That was a great save.
Yeah, exactly. That should sum it up, especially for Maple Leafs fans, for, I don't know, any fan, you should be able to appreciate level of save.
I'm not a Golden Knights fan. It is my job to cover the team, not root for them. I'm a hockey fan, unabashedly, and that was an awesome hockey play, and I'd be just as jazzed up if Frederik Andersen did it on the other side. It was awesome. People love Fleury. That's the reason why. His saves like that, and then quotes that he gives when he's like, oh, yeah, you know. A little giggle at the end.
Softly spoken with a little giggle. I can just imagine him when I was reading your story saying those quotes that he said afterwards. So check that out on LasVegasSun.com. But
nice plug.
Also, tried to squeeze it in there. But also, you had mentioned, I think, a little bit on this podcast already, but certainly before, that it was really more than the Fleury save, that whole third period was just like, the type of 20 minutes you look for as a hockey fan. What else stood out about, you know, that crazy period that ultimately decided the game?
Well, it was the redemption by Tomáš Nosek. In the first period, he had a breakaway. Shea Theodore sprung him on a breakaway. The puck just slipped off of his forehand, and he didn't get a shot off, and it was kind of embarrassing. And then in the third period, he created one for himself, and he plucked the puck away from Tyson Barrie and created a backhand opportunity for himself that he scored, and just the relief on his face, you could see it. You saw Mark Stone get on the board again. He had a phenomenal power play goal. You saw Cody Eakin tuck one into the empty net. Both Stone and Eakin, who had been struggling points-wise in their own right over the last couple of games, have now scored in two straight games. So, like you said, everything's kind of coming up for the Golden Knights right now, and it is two games, and they might get the doors blown off of them by the Sharks tomorrow night, and we're back to wondering what's wrong with them. But I mean, you got to, for the first time in a couple of weeks, you're feeling good if you're a Golden Knights fan.
Yeah, I think you said the key word, all three of those guys. I guess it could be some form of redemption or rebounding, all three goals in the third period for the Golden Knights. So you're certainly feeling good out of that one. 4-2 over the Maple Leafs. Someone nailed the exact score that game.
Well, you'll get the first. Yeah. You tweet the score every game, and you haven't. It seems like you've been doing pretty well on those. You also picked the first goal scorer, and you'll get there.
I'll let you in on some inside information to you and everyone else out there. I'm so sick of losing, I'm just picking Stone every single time from now on. Yeah, he's the favorite every game. So if I just take the favorite until he hits, what's the over-under how many games it takes till Mark Stone scores the first goal in your mind?
We're going to find out. I mean, he's the guy I'd pick.
6 or 7.5. So I'm going Stone all the way. please come through for me, Mark Stone.
Praying for you guys.
Yeah, you are you're my only hope at this point. So, Mark Stone, let's see if he can. He hadn't scored in a while, right? He had been kind of.
Yeah, he scored on Tuesday against Toronto, and he scored on Sunday against Calgary, and he was pointless in. Well, he wasn't pointless. He was without a point for 6 games in a row before that.
That's the streak I was thinking
of. Yeah. And I've got a story on sun.com tomorrow saying why that was deceiving, that he wasn't actually in a slump. So he's getting back onto the scoreboard.
Yeah, and he's a guy who, whoever you put alongside of him, he just seems like he elevates everyone's play. I don't know. That's kind of his...
He's amazing. Yeah. He's the best player on the team. He's the best player that they've ever had. He's phenomenal.
Yep, so Mark Stone, we pretty much say the same thing about him every week, but it's deserved. Unbelievable player who hopefully can keep the Golden Knights moving in the right direction. Let's get to our Escaping the Fortress segment, however, where we kind of go spread our wings a little bit, get away from the Golden Knights, talk about what else is going on in hockey. And if you think the Golden Knights are hot from winning 2 games in a row, how about the New York Islanders? I don't even know what to say about this. They have one overtime loss, I think, in their last
15 games.
Other than that, they've won every game. Now, a lot of them have been tight one-goal games, but their underlying numbers are a lot better than they were last year. And this actually seems to be a real thing. They're sitting at 15-3-1, only played 19 games. Well, speaking of betting, I bet against the Islanders to make the playoffs. I'm ready to just throw that one away.
Yeah, feel free to toss that one. My goodness. I thought they'd be good. I didn't think they'd be this good.
Thought they'd be okay.
Yeah, they're on pace for 1,000,000 points right now, I'm pretty sure. Do not check the math on that. But, they're unbelievable. Their goaltending has been great. Their defensive system, and now this year they're scoring. Barry Trotz has been the coach now for 2 years. He's come in and instituted a new system that has turned the Islanders from whatever team that couldn't make the playoffs with John Tavares as their center and are now looking like a powerhouse in the league, which I believe, leading the entire NHL in points percentage right now. So, the Islanders. Golden Knights face them in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that should be fun during the Golden Knights stay in New York, New Jersey. We'll be keeping an eye out on that one. But yeah, I think, even the Islanders roster, you still look now and they have a lot of big producers. And it's still, no one that would even relatively be considered a star. I guess maybe because of that, and I'm biased, but the thing that stands out in my mind is a guy whose name you said is Barry Trotz. I mean, does he deserve to be called the best coach in the NHL right now? You look at what he did. He won a Stanley Cup at Washington. He had all those great years in Nashville, then shows up in New York and immediately transforms them into a contender that no one ever expected.
Yeah, he does. I think that I don't know when the last time, off the top of my head, it's been a while that the Jack Adams for Coach of the Year has been given to the same guy twice in a row, that we've had a back-to-back winner. But I'd advocate pretty hard for Barry Trotz right now. I mean, I know we've kind of established, not just in hockey, but in sports, as the Coach of the Year being the most surprising Team of the Year award, particularly if it's a new coach. But man, Trotz has just come in and been awesome. Goaltending coach Mitch Korn, same thing. The way that Robin Lehner and Thomas Greiss last year were the best in the league. This year, Greiss is still there. Now Semyon Varlamov has come in and been equally as awesome. This Greiss is actually leading the league in save percentage right now. So, yeah, the Islanders, they rock. They don't allow goals. That's a team you don't want to face in the playoffs.
Absolutely not. And I have the answer to the question you've posed. The last back-to-back Jack Adams Award winner came the year I was born, which I won't say because I'm sure it's several years before you and it'll make me feel old. Not quite. 1987. Okay, I'll say it after that insult. Jock Demers from the Detroit Red Wings.
Jock Demers, sorry.
I have to mispronounce at least one French-Canadian name every week on the podcast, which this is really a role reversal for me, because if you listen to our other podcasts at LasVegasSun.com, Brewer mispronounces everyone. So now it's me. I didn't realize Trotz had picked one up with the Capitals that year. They were ridiculously good. Makes sense. But now he's won two of the last four. And I would have to agree with you. There's still a whole long way to go. Someone else will rise, but he'd have to be the winner right now.
Two of the last four. A Stanley Cup championship that wasn't included in one of those 2 years. Maybe might win it again this year. Like, this is a stretch that's as good as any coaching stretch that I've ever seen. I mean, this is a guy who's building upon what could end up being a Hall of Fame resume by the time that he's done.
Absolutely. I'm with you, and we'll get an up-close look at the Islanders, like we said, here in a couple weeks when Vegas goes there. They play them on December the 5th, a Thursday. Who knows? Maybe another Stanley Cup final preview. Maybe go. I'll just say that about every time they play a good Eastern team.
Yeah, the question is then, do they play in the Coliseum or do they play at Barclays Center? Because they've been bouncing back and forth for the final. But Islanders come here Saturday, February 20th at 7:30 p.m. I hate 7:30 p.m. games. Start all games at 1 p.m.
Is that just for the national? Yeah, when it's on NBC Sports Network, I'm guessing.
It's not even. It's on AT&T Sportsnet and MSG Plus.
It's just in spite of you, then, I guess.
I think it is.
That Vegas is doing that.
Going on that night, I guess, but whatever.
All right, well, that is the Islanders, and that's our Escaping the Fortress segment for this week. A well-deserved one. We haven't really zoned in on one team in a while. The Islanders. Well, actually, the last time we did was the Canucks, and I don't think they've won a game since. So hopefully we just text the Islanders, and they go on a huge losing streak. But that seems hard to fathom right now with how they're playing.
3-1 for the season is unbelievable.
Especially with the team. I mean, there's some teams you could have said that to me at the beginning of the year. Here's the thing.
Lightning did that. Would you be surprised?
No, if you had me rank, someone's going to start 15-3-1, rank the possibilities. I don't think the Islanders would have been in the top 20. I swear, I was down on them to start with. It's obscene. So
yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, good on them. That's a little bit down the road, though. Let's get to right ahead of us, the Golden Knights' next few games. We're not going to be back with you till Wednesday again next week. So we have three games between now and then. They went 2-1 in the three games we previewed last week. I think we both said they'd go 2-1. We didn't quite have them going 2-1 in this.
Didn't we do
Chicago? Or did we do four? Did we do Chicago too? Then we might have both said 3-1, and we were wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I said, yeah.
Knocks it down just like that. All right. Well, it's going to be three this week, and it's going to be San Jose tomorrow night. They play at T-Mobile Arena. Edmonton on Saturday, T-Mobile Arena. So back-to-back Pacific games. And then to another hot team, not quite as hot as the Islanders, but the Stars have kind of put it together recently. They've beaten up
I took them to be in the Western Conference Final. I'm starting to get worried.
So
8-1-1 in their last 10, though. 1-4 in a row.
Yeah, that's on Monday. And they've beat up on the aforementioned Canucks a couple times pretty badly in the last 5 days or so. What stands out about these three games to you?
The Oilers actually stand out to me. I would have thought, if you had asked me a couple of weeks ago, I would have said, well, the Sharks are coming back to T-Mobile Arena. I think that the rivalry with the Sharks will be put on hold for a game. I think that this is a game that both teams are kind of trying. They're playing better hockey. The Sharks had just had a 5-game winning streak snapped. So they're fighting their way back into it. The Golden Knights are trying to, they had a 5-game losing streak just get snapped. So it's a, I think they're going to be, I think it's going to be more focused on the hockey tomorrow night. And, so I think that that will be more of just another hockey game as opposed to the street fights that we kind of have come to expect between the Knights and the Sharks. It's the Oilers game that I'm most looking forward to. This is the team that's currently leading the Pacific Division. It has maybe the two best players in hockey this season, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, who Draisaitl's kind of taken the step from being like an elite player to like maybe the second best player in the league. Behind his own teammate. So these are maybe, I mean, I don't think it's a hot take to say two of the five best players in hockey are coming to town on Saturday. So this is a fun one to get tickets if you want to watch just amazing players. McDavid's probably worked his way into the Hall of Fame already. Draisaitl and him are carrying the Oilers right now. And it's always fun to watch Connor McDavid play hockey.
Thank God you said Leon Draisaitl first before I attempted
Leon Draisaitl.
But yeah, pretty wild that he has one more point than McDavid on the year. And I do remember when we previewed the whole Pacific going into the year, we just said like somebody, anybody's got to come up next to Connor McDavid and be that guy. And Draisaitl has done it. I mean, they've gotten good minutes from some other guys up and down the roster too. I know former Golden Knight James Neal was really hot at the beginning of the year as a McDavid line mate. Klefbom, the defenseman, as far as is their next in points. I know he had a really down here last year after kind of breaking out 2 years ago. So, I mean, everything's gone well for the Oilers, and it's time to get this season series started. They haven't played them, right? Nope. I almost wanted to double check my work there, but I couldn't remember.
They have not played them. And so I knew that Connor McDavid had played well against the Golden Knights in his career. He has 13 points in 8 career games against the Golden Knights. So and then I'm looking at his hockey reference page, his splits. He has averaged a point per game or better against every team in the league except for the Carolina Hurricanes and the Nashville Predators. And the Hurricanes, he has only played 6 times. He has 5 points. And Nashville Predators, 10 games, he has 9 points. So he is 1 point away from the Hurricanes. So basically, if he gets 2 points in his next game against the Hurricanes and the Predators, he will have a point per game against every team in the league. He is unbelievable. He is also only 22 years old.
Whew, only 22. That's
the
wild.
He has 1 MVP award. He is well on his way to a second this year. He probably should have about 3 more. Like, the fact that he wasn't really considered that heavily last year was crazy. The year before that, Connor McDavid's the best player in hockey.
The year before that, I don't remember diving really into it last year, but the year before that, I felt like he deserved to win. He would have gotten my vote for certain. So
yeah, 2 years ago, led the league in points. 108. He's led the league in points twice already. In yeah, so he's played. Would you believe this is only his 5th season? Feels like he's been around forever. But he's only played 3 games that fully healthy, 3 seasons. He's led the league in points 2 of those, and the one that he didn't, he had the most points of his career. It was just Nikita Kucherov last year had 128. Connor McDavid's unbelievable. I love watching him play. He is crazy fast, super skilled. He's just stupid good. And he'll be here on Saturday. I can't wait.
Yeah, and I think that's really going to have a big game feel with Edmonton. No matter what happens, I would think going to be in first in the Pacific at that time.
Yeah, a surprising combatant into the Pacific Division race. Of all the teams in the Pacific, I could have been talked into Anaheim or Vancouver, kind of being basically any team except for Los Angeles and Edmonton. I did not think that the Oilers were going to be any good at all this year. And right now it is, I mean, you can, San Jose is right now only 4 points out of a Pacific Division playoff spot. Anaheim's only 3 points, so you could make a case right now for 7 of the 8 teams to still being in contention for the Pacific Division. That's fun.
Yeah, that is certainly fun, and we will get some more clarity in the coming days. Vegas playing tomorrow first against San Jose, as you said, and I will say Edmonton on the same schedule. They play at Los Angeles on Thursday, so you would think a likely win there. I think the Golden Knights beat the Sharks as well. Crazy to think if they beat the Sharks on Thursday, they're one Sharks one away from sweeping the season series.
Oh yeah,
they'll only play one more time.
They'll finish up before Christmas too, because they play in December 22nd.
That's some interesting scheduling. But yeah, I'm gonna say both Edmonton and Vegas win on Thursday to add some even more stakes to what you've pinpointed as the biggest game in the stretch, and I think no one would disagree with you.
Yeah, and then Dallas is playing really hot. They've allowed the second fewest goals in the entire Western Conference. Behind only the Coyotes, and actually third fewest in the entire league behind the Coyotes and the Islanders. So Dallas kind of back on their thing. They had Ben Bishop playing really well last year. That's goaltending's there. Defense is there. Scoring not quite there for Dallas, but that's not really their MO. So they play a lot of low-scoring games, and they've been winning a lot of them lately.
Yeah, they absolutely play to their strengths. I'm looking at the pace chart right now, and they're one of the bottom in the NHL. I mean, they're not a team that's going. They're the type of team that I could see, frustrating the Golden Knights because they're not going to get into this free flowing, just throw a ton of pucks at the net type of hockey. That's probably more fun to watch. But I think
we'll get in Edmonton. Yeah, we'll get against Edmonton, who has been lighting up the scoreboard. They lead the Western Conference in goals scored right now.
So I think that's that could be a matchup issue for the Golden Knights, possibly.
I think you're right. And just looking at just on straight goals allowed, can you imagine like an Arizona Dallas playoff series will be 7-1-0 games?
Or even, I know this could change because they have the personnel to be differently, but it looks like St. Louis too this year. That's an even another likely.
Yeah.
Maybe we just don't pay attention to the whole upper half of the Arizona too, I guess. Maybe we just don't pay attention to select series of the Western Conference playoffs because it will be so aesthetically, I guess, not one you would want to. Displeasing.
Dallas and St. Louis played. Is that what you're, Dallas and St. Louis? I think we talked about that last year, didn't we? Or are you talking about Golden Knights and?
Oh, we probably did. I meant if Dallas and St. Louis play each other.
Didn't they play each other last year?
Yeah, they did. I think it went seven games.
Wasn't super exciting.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely not. Despite going seven games,
it
wasn't even all that exciting. So we'll see what happens there. I think you've given us a good overview of the games. I've already picked them to beat at San Jose. I'm going to go 2-1 yet again. I say they beat Edmonton and lose at Dallas. I kind of already gave my reasons of why I like the Stars here, but the Stars are just super hot. I think their style could be one that catches the Golden Knights at the right time. So I've got a 2-1.
You've got them sweeping a four-game homestand.
Oh, wow. I didn't even see that, just inadvertently. So I guess that means you're going the other way.
No, I agree with you. I like them beating the Sharks. I think it's going to be a very fun game on Saturday. The most fun of this stretch against Edmonton. That one, to me, I think that they beat the Sharks. I think that they lose to the Stars. I think that that Saturday game is the biggest toss-up, and I'm feeling good about them right now. So I'll go with a win, and so I'm going to go with you. 2-1.
All right, so we're in agreement. Both sweeping the homestand, which is one thing, but here is what would really impress me. Do they sweep the homestand with each game covering the puck line? They've won by at least 1.5 in each of the first two games.
Yeah, they covered that puck line a back door last night against.
Oh, that's true. The Eakin
20 seconds left on an empty netter.
I would love to see that because I don't think that happens very often. But I'm going to say that doesn't happen. I think at least one of these is a one goal game.
I think that Edmonton game will be a one goal game either way.
Yeah, that one should be fun. We're hyping that up. Can't wait for Saturday night at T-Mobile Arena, Edmonton and Vegas. We both are picking them to win a close game, probably a one-goal game, and then lose at Dallas. So that is the week ahead. And then to sign off the podcast, as we do every week, it is the Shining Knight competition, which I'm always terrible at keeping track of, probably because I'm just terrible in general at the exercise. And I do not remember who I picked once again. So that's why I was trying to throw it to you to give us the rundown of what took place last week.
You had Riley Smith. Four games. Riley Smith had two assists. I had Shea Theodore in those four games. He had three assists. So I guess in a way, let's take a look at some other stats. In those four games, the expected goals numbers at 5-on-5 for both of them. Riley Smith was the worst on the team in expected goals. Shea Theodore, the second worst. So
I think you got this.
It wasn't great.
Glad I picked the real right time to back Riley Smith.
I didn't want to just go eye test. I think that that Theodore wins. I was looking for some numbers to back it up, but that does look like another victory for me.
So happy I bought high on Riley Smith having such a great start to the season, and when I choose to dive in is when he does nothing. So what's the score now? 4-2
5-2 You're on a two-game losing streak after bringing it within one.
All right. And I have the first pick. You have the first pick.
You have the first pick this week.
It's been ugly.
You have picked Riley Smith, Marc-Andre Fleury, Max Pacioretty, Cody Glass, Tomáš Nošek, William Karlsson, and Shea Theodore.
All right. Well, you know what my theory is in the... You haven't
picked him yet.
Yeah. I'm still holding him off a little bit more. I'm going to try to get by without it. Why don't I go with, I guess from just reading them off, I think I'm actually going to list them after this so I can remember and come in a little more prepared next time, because this will be the first. But a guy you did not mention yet that I don't think applies to the buying high, because I don't think he's been... He hasn't been one of the super standouts this year. I'm just going to go with Jonathan Marchessault. Why not? He's not on there, right? I have not taken him.
No, I've taken him. You have
not. Okay. I'm going to go with Marchessault. I need a guy that has a potential to really carry the Golden Knights this week. And being that I have not taken Mark Stone, and I'm still trying to save him, I'm going to go with Marchie.
Okay. I was actually going to go with Cody Eakin, but kind of buying high on him right now. I think he's playing really well the last couple of games after being very not good the previous 15 or so. But they've been playing on the same line, so that's takes away a little fun from the game if we're picking guys on the same line. Because, like, if one of them scores, another one probably assisted. So I am going to go with the other top six center. I'm going to make William Karlsson my pick this week. I have not picked him. So former line mates, William Karlsson and Jonathan Marchessault going after it.
God, and every time I read, let's not get Marchessault's opinion on this, because that guy has more glowing William Karlsson quotes than anyone I've ever seen. He loves him some William Karlsson.
I asked him today, I'm like, how are you feeling about playing with Cody Eakin and Mark Stone? He's like, man, me and Carly were really good together, weren't we?
Even your story yesterday going into the game, it was something about how William Karlsson, I don't remember, it was just something about how William Karlsson's so great. And I'm like, is this all Marchessault says? Is he like...
Oh, yeah, that's what because I had asked him, I'm like, yeah, how do you match up with Austin Matthews? He's like, Karlsson will do it. I'm like, all right.
he's a Karlsson praise bot.
I wish my parents loved me as much as Jonathan Marchessault loves William Karlsson, but that's a story for another time.
Exactly. So good pick on that. You're going to level my guy, Jonathan Marchessault, if he finds out he's head-to-head with William Karlsson. That's our Shining Knight competition this week, though. I've got Marchessault. Justin has Karlsson. That's going to do it for Vegas Golden Podcast this week. We'll be back again next week on Wednesday to look ahead to a whole lot more games. This should be a fun one Saturday against Edmonton. We'll break that down, everything else. For Justin, I'm Case. Thanks for listening.